We spoke to many inspirational people on air in 2024, and two of them were sisters Sarah and Emma Abu Salmia. The Palestinian sisters living here in Waterford embarked on a fundraising campaign involving them running or walking every day for the month of January to raise much needed funds for family they had suffering in the war in Gaza. The initial aim was about €4,000, but their campaign gathered such momentum that the final tally ended up exceeding €50,000. We spoke to Sarah and her sister Emma initially in January when they started their campaign, and in February we checked back in with Sarah and her aunt Susie to recap on how it all had developed.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Damien. Thanks for having us.
Morning, Damien.
Lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much. Just remind our listeners, Susie, if you wouldn't mind, please, what was the reason for this? What was the reason that you did your fundraising?
Well, we started our fundraising just after Christmas for the month of January. We went on a walking journey. Each member of the family, particularly Sarah and Emma, whose cousins and aunts and uncles are in Gaza, you know, got us all on board to walk 320 kilometres for the month of January. So it was a symbolic number. We walked it to represent the distance that our family in Gaza had to, I mean, since then, that number has been multiplied many, many times, but at the time had to walk to leave their home to find safety. We all took on board the challenge that we would try and raise some money for the family there, not knowing, you know, what the end goal was, but just to try and raise some funds that, you know, hopefully when this is over,
yes,
we'll be able to support them in some small way.
Okay. And Sarah and Emma, we can't talk to Emma this morning. Obviously, she's busy, unfortunately. Sarah and Emma Albu Selmia, living in Tremor, and we've heard about your dad, Sarah, Palestinian Irish. And I was just looking, Susie sent me a text that all your extended family had been in various parts of Rafah in the south, which had been before now declared as safe zones. But over the last 48 hours, the conflict has intensified there. Tell me a little bit, please, if you wouldn't mind, Sarah, about what have you heard or what have you been able to hear?
Yes, I suppose the last kind of 24 hours have been quite scary, and communication has been quite difficult. As you said, they had kind of initially left their home in northern Gaza, and they had travelled to the south, to Rafah, which kind of had been declared as that, you know, in kind of quotation, safe zone. And obviously that kind of has changed quite a lot over the last kind of 24, 48 hours. So some of them, we're not sure how many, but we know some of them have headed back slightly north to New Sirat. And we got a picture through from my cousin Lena yesterday of, you know, where they're trying to take shelter from. And, you know, when in the image, every part of it is just rubble. And, you know, this previously wasn't a safe area. Now it seems to be the safer, you know, the best of a bad situation. But we know some of them are there, but we know some of them are still in Rafah. And I suppose even kind of this morning, looking at the images that are coming through from there, it's heartbreaking to think that they're there in the middle of that.
It's horrendous. Yeah, Susie sent me on a picture, and I'll put it up online, of Nuzarat, or how you pronounce it, from your cousin Lena. And it's just horrendous. It's just like a big building, a car park, whatever the case may be, concrete rubble falling down. Susie, when you see pictures like this, like, it's impossible, Susie, to even contemplate living in a place like this, isn't it?
Well, you're not living, Damien. You're just trying to survive. And this is like, we only get sporadic news through from the family. But every time we do, that's what it is. There is no living there at the moment. It's actually a fight for survival.
Yeah.
So what you see there in that rubble, if that was able to keep, you know, keep them sheltered, keep them out of the wind, keep them out of the cold, keep them safe from bombs, I mean, that's all it is about at the moment, is a fight for survival, not about living any sort of life, not knowing where the next meal is coming from, not knowing if you have water tomorrow, not knowing if when you close your eyes, if you can close your eyes, are you going to be rained down upon with bombs? So, I mean, when you see that where this family have come from, and these are, you know, people who were very, very much part of their community where they lived, their teachers, their doctors, their nurses, there's, you know, these were people who were part of the community that they lived in, who would be, you know, well known in the community that they lived in. You know, it's a very tight knit community where everybody helps everybody else, and that's what this family was about. And now these people are now eking out some kind of existence in rubble,
surviving,
and that's the best they can hope for right now, with given the situation and given the fact that it's escalating. You know, not daily now, hourly it's escalating, and you're going from one place to another in the hope of surviving another night.
Sarah, you had said before dozens of members of your extended family have died already. Have you heard any more? Again, very difficult to get information from there.
Yeah, very difficult. Again, kind of in our immediate from what we're aware, they are all still alive. And I think knowing, you know, there's bodies under rubble, there's people that are missing. Communication is so bad that, you know, people that you haven't been able to get in contact with, you know, there's a huge question as to, is that because there's no communication, or is that because they are one of hundreds and thousands of people that are, you know, under rubble? There's people who have spent days and days trying to dig out, to rescue their family members who, you know, they know have passed away, but just to give them some sort of respect and be able to bury them. So the number kind of as of now hasn't changed in the last time we were talking to you, but, you know, there is an element of the unknown of, you know, is that accurate?
Do you think we know what's really happening over there, Sarah? Like, I don't think we've any real comprehension, do we?
I don't think so. I think that there's a number of really good sources kind of on Instagram. If you go to kind of, you know, the journalists that are inside Gaza themselves, you know, and they are kind of showing, you know, on a phone as they're walking down the street what is going on. And I think unless you're kind of, you know, getting your information and your sources from people like that are there, that are on the ground, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the kind of larger news outlets are, you know, maybe only showing one side or not showing the full picture, or, you know, just aren't even allowed access in to Gaza itself to actually see what is happening day to day. And I'd say the scale of the destruction, again, you know, we're looking at an image on a television screen or a phone screen. That there's no context to what's standing in that rubble. And, you know, when you look down from your left to your right, and that's all that's there, it's dust, it's bodies, it's blood. And, you know, there's what was streets that were, you know, filled with shops and beautiful beachfronts, you know, there's nothing there. There's nothing there now. And I'd say unless you are, you know, unless we were there, I'd say the scale of the destruction and the scale of the heartbreak and the loss is, we'll never comprehend through a phone.
No, I don't think so. I'll come back to you in a second, Sarah, about the fundraising and to thank everybody. But Susie, the news and the overwhelming support for what she did and the amount of money ye have raised, what did you aim or what would you were hoping for originally, and what figures did you reach?
When we started, Damien, we had no hope. We didn't know. First of all, we didn't know what situation that they were in, the family were in Gaza. And second of all, you know, if we'd gotten 5,000, it would have been great. If we'd gotten 10,000, it would have been great. No amount of money is going to be enough. Like, if you said to me, oh, there's 5 million, I don't know how many lives or what they can do with that when this is over. But when we started, we had no hope. It was just, let's do something rather than do nothing.
Yes.
You're sitting here, you know, thinking, what can you do? So let's do something. And to be honest, the support has been absolutely overwhelming. Like, we never dreamed that we would get to where we are, and we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. But to get to where we are, we're I think we've passed €55,000, which we know will be so much needed, you know, when the time comes. But we're not going to stop. But people have been, the generosity of people have been unbelievable, you know, amazing, overwhelming. All of these words are too little, you know, to describe what we feel as a family for what we've gotten from people. For example, I was in the queue in Tesco's last week, and a lady said, "Oh, are you so-and-so's sister? Oh, yeah, are you the girl doing the walking? Oh, yeah." And she opened her purse and gave me 20 euro and walked off. I just put it in an anonymous donation of 20 euro. I didn't get the woman's name. She said, "Oh, God bless you all, and I'm praying for them all every night." And she walked away. I was actually stunned. You know, my heart was filled with gratefulness and that lady just opened her purse on the spot, handed me the 20 and walked away. It just left me floored, to be honest. And like, there are so many other hundreds of people who have done just that. If it's a fiver, if it was a tenner, if it was 50, whatever, all of those donations mean so much to what we tried to do.
And Sarah, when we had you on, we were thinking maybe you were looking at possibly 20,000, maybe 30,000 max. Like, let's just reiterate that figure again that Susie said, your Auntie Susie said, 55,000. 55,000 euros raised for your family, please God, to get back up and running for medical matters, for all those things, again, cutting out the middleman. 55,000, Sarah, what do you have to say to this?
Like Susie just said, you know, we're blown away. I don't think we ever thought when we started out and put up that first post in January that, you know, it would do what it's done. I think it's that thing where, you know, obviously for us, it's our family. We love them. We want to do whatever we can. We would do whatever we can possibly do to give them a better life and to keep them safe. But, you know, for people that are just coming across the post or that, you know, see it shared, it's not their family, and, you know, they don't have the connection that we have. And so I think that outpouring of support that people have given to us for them. And, you know, the thing is that, like, a lot of my cousins in Gaza, you know, they have Instagram, so they're following the page as well, so they can also see when people are commenting under the post with, you know, their prayers, with their thoughts, with their support. They see that, and, you know, I'm sure for them in the kind of darkest days that they're facing at the moment, it's really hard to have hope, and you know, a lot of hope is lost. And for them to click on and to see that, you know, these people in Ireland are behind them, are supporting them, are sending money, that they know that when, you know, brighter days do come, that there is going to be a future for them. You know, will myself and Emma and our mom, our dad, our extended family here, we'll never be able to say, you know, thank you enough for what people have done for us. So it's been overwhelming for sure.
Susie, you want to reiterate that? Yeah,
I mean, it's
sometimes, you know, words, it's hard to put into words, isn't it?
It is. It's hard to put into words sometimes, Damien. And, you know, for the family there, and, you know, they're from age 80 down to age 8. You know, these are grandfathers. These are our fathers. These are brothers. These are dads. These are sons. These are mothers. You know, aunts, uncles. These are all people that love the people who are around them and want to keep them safe and want to protect them. And that's what we're trying to offer, some hope, some support for these people, for when, as Sarah said, hopefully there will be brighter days ahead. It's hard to see it right now. It's hard to see any light at the end of the tunnel when things are just escalating, when you're looking at images that are just stomach turning. It's sickening to see what's happening, and it's sickening to think of how slow the world is to respond to it. It's sickening. It's sickening that day by day, we're watching it. We're watching it. We're looking on. We're looking at a genocide unfolding. You know, it's what keeps us awake at night. It's what makes our stomach sick to think, you know, when is it going to end? But when it ends, at least there'll be something, some small token from the people here in Ireland. And it's been across Ireland. It's been like the people of Waterford, you know, and the amount of people who stop me, even now when I'm out walking, "Oh, you're great walking." Oh, you know, those people have no idea what they have done for us. And what they continue to do, because, you know, every day the money goes up a little bit more, and we really, really, really appreciate that. We're not going to close this GoFundMe. We want people to, if they can, keep sharing it and keep donating if possible. And we're not overwhelming people or bombarding people. We did that for 31 days in January. I'm sure my Facebook friends and my Instagram friends are saying, oh, Jesus, enough. You know, we have to stop. We're not. But we still do. We still are going to keep it going and still, you know, reach whatever the end figure will be, whatever it will be. We'll keep going for our family. Okay. And that's as much as we can do.
And Sarah, a number of people have texted into the programme to say well done to ye, well done to Susie, well done to the family. And I know you want to thank the WLR listeners as well. And we're delighted to have helped out in whatever small way we could.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Damien. And as you said, thank you so much to all your listeners who have, you know, supported us along the way. As Susie said, we've made a huge start and huge progress, and you know that figure, that 55,000, is amazing. But you know we will still keep going. And for any of your listeners who, you know, want to maybe support or follow what we're doing, you can find us if you go to GoFundMe.com and then type in Sarah and Emma's Walk for Gaza. You'll find our story there.
Susie, well done to you, to Brian, to everybody in the family and extended family, and to Sarah, to yourself and Emma and all the family. Thanks. And thanks for talking to us. Mind yourselves, okay?
Thanks for having us, Damien. You're so good. Thank you.
Thanks, Damien.